141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. After the first batch of league fixtures in the new season, Russell Martin fumes at his team for drawing at Motherwell, but Oliver Antman is now in the building. Celtic get off to a winning start, but only just, at home to St Mirren. And the weekend is not over yet, with Hearts, who can win the league according to Tony Bloom, hosting Aberdeen in the storm in the capital tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
And what an opening weekend. And as you say, still with a game to go, Celtic winning the 87th minute on Flag Day at Parkhead. Falkirk and Levy both up, both having 2-2 draws in the opening weekend. Kieran Bowie gets two of his own as Hibs win at Dens. And Russell Martin tells Rangers to drop the egos as they drop points at Fir Park. Can you imagine how much worse it could have been if Jens Bertolasco had let this man off the bench, Gordon?
Keeping him for bigger games down the road.
Hopefully next week anyway. But anyway, I was expecting a few weeks before I used the words, I don't know how we're going to fit this all in within a couple of hours, but I don't know how we're going to fit this all in within a couple of hours. Results, performances, managerial interviews, new signings, we now know our European opponents for our domestic teams. Of course, there's a game tonight, and Rangers try to bounce back for disappointment against Victoria Pilsen tomorrow.
He makes a good point, the man. So much going on in the opening weekend of the new Scottish football season. It is breathless stuff. So why not give us a call, 01419511025, and let's look back, or forward if you want to preview tonight's game, we can do that as well. But let's look back on what's happened over the weekend. Rangers fans, you've had a couple of days to digest not only the performance against Motherwell at Fir Park, but also what Russell Martin had to say. Very, very rarely do we have as explosive a post-match interview as that on the opening weekend of the season. What did you make of it? Was it the right way to go about it? Should he have treaded on eggshells a little bit more? Do you back him? Who was he referring to when he talked about players trying to drop the egos? Because it gets up and running again for Rangers. Russell Martin's spoken again since, because they get into European action tomorrow evening as well. Celtic fans, so much has been said about your readiness for the new season. What did you make of yesterday? If you're the type of person that only worries about results, then you'll be happy. 3 points. And starting as you mean to go on, where there are other things in there that you maybe want to see improved upon, give us a call, please. And every other team out there, Motherwell fans, you must have been delighted with that performance at home to Rangers. Falkirk fans, how did you feel? 15 years out the top flight, back with an entertaining 2-2 draw against Dundee United. Like we said at the headlines, we've got transfer news as well. Oliver Antman's been signed by Rangers. Are we closing in on others? Give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. Give us a shout right now. What about your result of the weekend, Roger Hanna?
Okay. First weekend of the season. I'll give it to the period. Motherwell. A deserved draw. Might even have been something more. Manny Longolo, the goal in 3 minutes from the end. And they did a number on the Rangers and they deserved the point.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Hibs. Based on bouncing back for the European disappointment against Michelin last week, I thought it was a very, very professional job against Dundee. And listen, any team outside the Old Firm, it's always difficult going away from home in this league. And Hibs have started the season well, just like they finished last season.
I've missed this over the summer at 6:05 on a Monday night. I just look at myself in the mirror and ask what the goal of the weekend was, and there's never an answer because we're starved of football, but we're back. We've got options, surely. Goal of the weekend from both of you?
I'm going to go for Dylan Tate. And the reason I'm going to go for Dylan Tate is the role of Brad Spencer. I think so many players, you know, when they find that type of space in the box, they see the glory, they're going to try and shoot and thrash off a shot and see where it ends up. But I think he picks out Dylan Tate in a better position, and it's a fantastic finish to go with it as well. So that's my goal of the weekend.
And celebrated like a goal that has been 15 years in the making as well. I love that. I was up at the game yesterday. Good choice, Roger.
I'm going to go the same game, Gordon. Ivan Dolcek, Dundee United. He might not sign any Scots, but it looks as if Jim Goodwin signed some decent players. I think it was Kamara who played the ball through. He had a really good game in the middle of the park. Dolcek, inside left channel, wee bit of composure, lovely finish. Good game.
Howler of the weekend, anything that upset you in the opening fixtures?
I thought again there was a few to choose from. I don't think many were that glaring, but I'm going to go for Ryan Astley at Dundee. I thought it was a fairly routine cross to deal with. No sort of striker or attacker from Hibs round about him. And he doesn't do a great job, obviously, at clearing it. He clears it actually off the back at Ethan Ingram, his defensive partner. and it falls to Kieran Bowie, who had a fantastic afternoon for Hibs.
I'm going to go for Kilmarnock's George Stanger. Now, we can have an argument as to whether he was fouled before he fouled Robbie Muirhead, but it was a classic example of the experienced striker, Muirhead, exposing the less experienced centre-half, Stanger. If Stanger's fouled first, go down and get the free kick. Don't then have a big grab at the striker's jersey. Turning point in the game. Kelly were absolutely home and hosed, and they ended up 2-2.
Are you disagreeing?
Imagine giving a howl at a guy that got fouled. Some going in it.
Well,
I think it's a foul. I think it's a foul on
the
stage.
Other way first.
Yeah. I don't
think. Well, Matthew McDermott and the VAR man, John Beaton, disagree with you.
They don't, which why they very nearly got my howler, because I don't think it's one they have to get involved in at all.
Okay. Top man, top performer, who gets the first one of the new season?
No man. I'm going 16 man. I'm going to go Motherwell. Roger gave them the result. I'm going to give them the performance. I thought it was a... And listen, we'll never look at it that way because we all have our teams. We all support Rangers or Celtic or Motherwell. Like, I thought it was a brilliant advert for Scottish football. I thought it was a fantastic game. Two teams tried to play a certain way. The game ebbed and flowed throughout. But I thought in the second half, I thought we were outstanding. And like Roger says, I thought we'd done more than enough to maybe nick the 3 points.
I'm going for Kieran Bowie. I had a bet on with a colleague in the office last season that Bowie wouldn't score 15 goals and he got injured and I won the bet, and there's no way I'm taking that bet this year because Kieran Bowie will score more than 15 goals for Hibs. He might even end up top scorer in the league.
Gamble responsibly.
Gamble responsibly. When the fun stops, stop.
01419511025. Let's hear from you. The phone lines are lighting up. Well, seeing it's the first weekend back in the Premiership, and everyone that calls in tonight goes into the draw to win a pair of tickets to Ayr Racecourse's Sounds of Summer Race Night. It's this Saturday, featuring Entrance right up Roger Hannah's street. That, so on Thursday, we're going to build up to that. We've got a pair of Legends Lounge tickets, but that's further down the line. So pair of tickets, that's up for grabs to everybody who calls in tonight. William is going to kick things off. Take it away, William.
Yeah, hello, Gordon, Roger and Andy.
Hi, William.
Yeah, my point is, right, I totally agree with the manager calling him out, right, but where I disagree is he's playing, we're effectively playing with nine men every week. We're playing Dill and Danilo. That's one of my points. And Andy's the perfect man, right? He was there, he was watching. Who's the manager talking about? Who's got the eagles? Who's not doing the running? One man can tell us it's Andy because he's watching it. I know he's a mother old man, but he's a Rangers man at heart. We all know that.
So he was definitely Andy, watching as well. You've got that bit right. I don't know. You're going to throw him under the bus?
William, I'd love to give you an answer, but I don't think, unless you're in the dressing room, that you would actually know who he's talking about, because I thought his interview after the game was scathing, but I thought it was... Personally, I thought it was quite refreshing. And I always think, you know, people think it's really, really dangerous when managers make these type of remarks, especially so early on in his tenure, especially so early on in the season. But for me, I think it's only the wrong thing to say if you don't say it in front of the players themselves. And from all accounts, from what you're hearing, I think he said the exact same words in the dressing room against the players. So clearly, he wasn't happy with not only the performance, but the effort of the team, the effort of some individuals. I don't think that Russell Martin is devoid of criticism himself for the weekend, but I certainly don't think the players done their part within it.
Who do you think it was aimed at, William?
I think it was aimed at, personally, Diomande, right? Because when he got pulled off, he was in quite a foul mood, do you know what I mean? Maybe Tavernier, maybe Dill, Danilo, you know what I mean? That's my whole point, Gordon, right? The guy's come in, he's trying to get his new ideas, we're all trying to back him, but he's not doing himself any favours playing guys that have been out of the picture so far in the seasons previous, you know. He needs to start playing the players who he can trust. I hope this new man on board today can give him a bit of added firepower, the first boy as well. I'm hoping that's the case. But Andy, I think it's quite poor. Just come out and tell us who you think it is. Wee man, know what I mean? Just give me a name.
He's been wee manned.
I'll try and find out for you, William, before 8 o'clock.
Roger, you'll have theories. Who is it aimed at?
Well,
it shows you're working.
Well, it's not going to be the ones he signed, because he said this has been a problem in the past. So he's exonerated the new guys. He'll exonerate Butland because he was Rangers' best player. So by a process of elimination, it's from a pool of Tavernier, Suter, Diomande, Raskin, Dowell and Danilo. Some of these players should have been called out 3 managers ago, because they've cost the last 3 managers their jobs. Every Rangers supporter will agree with what Russell Martin said. And it's now up to Russell Martin not just to talk the talk, but to walk the walk and start leaving out the ones he doesn't think are pulling their weight, because a failure to leave them out cost previous managers their jobs.
Let's hear a bit from Russell Martin. He's actually spoken today as well ahead of the European game, but this is what he had to say on Saturday.
Yeah, I think well, the players have to learn very quickly, and I think Wednesday night will help us grow as a group, like in so many ways, psychologically, tactically, it definitely will. But they showed a lot of resilience and character, which we're going to need in abundance. So it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to go our way. Hopefully, the way we play and the way we work will mean it will go our way more often than not. But when it's not, you have to stick together and you have to fight and you have to run. I've said that from the very start, and the players are really doing that. So as long as we maintain that, the rest we can work out.
Sounds like the wrong Russell Martin clip to me, but there we go.
I think some of these producers are going to have to drop their egos and get the right audio.
I think that clip was the opposite.
That was maybe last week, the weekend. See the bit whilst you're figuring out who it was, Roger, and you've given the list of the players that were there already. It feels like the most revealing comment to me personally was the bit about Cyril Dessers is the only one we've had a bid for. And look at the way he's running.
So, in other words, nobody wants Diamandé, nobody wants Raskin, nobody wants Egerman, nobody wants Danilo or Dowell.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. With all due respect to Kieran Dowell, I don't think he would expect to be subject of a bid, and I don't think there's really been talk about that. Egerman wasn't involved, so I wonder if it is getting narrower towards Raskin, Diamandé.
The team will be interesting tomorrow. You would think Dessers would come back in for Danilo at centre-forward. If they can get Oliver Antman and or Mikey Moore registered tonight, I think they're allowed to make two changes before 11 p.m. tonight to the squad that faced Panathinaikos. You would think that would mean the addition of Antman and Moore. You would think one of them may well be thrown in instead of Kieran Dowell tomorrow. But it's other things. I mean, does he leave out a Diamandé for a Lyle Cameron, who got real praise from the manager after the game on Saturday? Or does he do the ultimate? Does Max Ahrens come to right back? Does Jeffrey play at left back? And there's no Tavernier. That might be a step too far at the minute for the manager.
I think that's the one he does make. I think not so much who the personnel is at right back, but I think the Max Ahrens experiment at left back, I think it's three games too many already. I just think he looks extremely uncomfortable out there. And I think the attributes that you hear or see, I must say, that Max Ahrens has got, I just think it's fully negated by playing on that left-hand side. And I think that's, do you know what? I'll say five games, because I watched the Middlesbrough game, I watched the Club Brugge game, and I just think I think he looks uncomfortable out there. And I think with such a massive game tomorrow night, I think that experiment has to end.
He scored the goal at Fir Park. Is the captain under pressure?
Listen, the signing of Max Ahrens alone tells me he's under immense pressure. I think Russell Martin clearly wants competition in certain areas of the field. I don't think Max Ahrens has been signed not to play. So I think straight away, I think James Tavernier has to earn his jersey. If he's got it, he has to keep it. But certainly for that left-hand side, I think that there's going to be a change there tomorrow night.
Let's bring in Jamie and get his take on... Listen, I was going to ask about your thoughts on the performance, Jamie, but actually the manager's thoughts on the performance have sort of overshadowed everything, haven't they?
Aye, well, I thought it was a bit too much, the way you said, because he's basically going to also treading the dressing before we've even started the season, you know what I mean? And it's not, this inverted fullbacks isn't working either. It's your man Kieran Dowell getting put on before other players as well. It's just not, it's no one in Danilo. I know we're trying to sell Egonwani and Dessers and that, but Dessers is there. He should get on for the start and give him a shot, and then bring Danilo on to cover it, can't we? But this isn't very thing we're getting caught out. It's the same blaring mistakes, the same as last season, getting caught out. I mean, when we go up against half a decent team like Celtic or something like that, we're going to be punished.
The obvious response, if you're against the comments Russell Martin made, Roger, is that one. As soon as he said it, I knew people would say, you'll lose the dressing room, you've thrown the players under the bus, all that sort of stuff. What do you make of that? Well, is there anything in that?
It strikes me that he's not too bothered about losing the ones that he doesn't want to take with him. He's quite happy. He's got Moore in, Ant-Man in, He's got Gassama, he's got Asgard, he's got De Giga and Ahrens, he's got Rothwell. There will be more coming in the door, I'm sure of that. So maybe for the first time in a long time at Rangers, the manager doesn't need to mollycoddle the players who are there, players who have let the team down. And, you know, Jamie said there, oh, you take on a team like Celtic, you've been in trouble. Actually, when Rangers play Celtic and Rangers play the European games, they actually seem to get the best out of some of these players. As the games against Motherwell and Kilmarnock and St Mirren, where these guys, you know, their egos almost stop them from performing at places like Fir Park. That's the point the manager's making. You know, the Celtic games and European games, I know it's a, you know, it's an easy thing to say, take care of themselves. But the evidence of the last year would suggest that those games take care of themselves for Rangers. Rangers trip themselves up when these players fail to perform against the Motherwells and the Killies and the St Mirrens of the world.
This notion that you can't say these things and dressing rooms are lost or whatever, Andy, what do you make of that? Because Russell Martin's at a different time, I suppose. He's new in. He's got new players already. He thinks he's going to get more. This is a team that's underperformed domestically for years now. So is it actually an okay time to do it, if that makes sense?
I think so. I think already there's no time to waste. I think there's no time to dwell. And listen, I would say it's wrong if he named individuals, me personally, after a game especially.
But to be fair, as we've said, you probably are able to narrow it down to a couple, no?
Yeah, but you fully understand that it's completely worse if he comes out and names said individuals. And I don't think this is players that he's already writing off of their Rangers careers. I just think, like he says, he needs to drop their ego, they revert to type. And I've no doubt that what he said in the press, I think there's no doubt he said that in the changing room as well. But I do agree with Roger. If you lose said individuals or one or two individuals, I think Russell Martin's been pretty clear that he wants to take boys along with him that are all in for the get-go. So I think if you then find out that there's one or two that are not going along with that journey, I think he's more than happy to find out pretty early anyway.
Let's go to James, who's on the other line. How are you, James?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Good, thank you. Good. You're a Motherwell fan, James. Give us the other side of it. You must have been happy with what you saw.
Yeah, guys, just what I got on. How you doing, Andy?
Hope you're well, mate. James?
What it is, guys, you're not using the title, but some of the media just want to say, you know, how bad Rangers were. I just want to kind of see it from their point of view and how bad Murrow were. I thought Murrow, to a man, were absolutely phenomenal on Saturday. From probably about, I don't know, maybe midway through the first half, we kind of grew into the game. I think we gave Rangers too much respect, maybe the first 25, 30 minutes. But considering the manager's only been in for a very short space of time, you know, a whole different style that I've not seen at Fir Park in any time I've been. You know, I just feel that you should get a bit more respect, you know, in regards to a moral point of view.
Well, Andy, let's put it to Andy, James, because you're right. How could anyone not be impressed with the performance? Andy, just, I don't know, talk us through it in terms of, is that the culmination of the hard work during pre-season and how well it came off and all the rest of it? Yeah. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if you remember, Gordon, last season when we beat Rangers at Ibrox, I remember we were talking on the Monday, it wasn't your typical Rangers dropping points where the other team were backs against the wall and they went up and they nicked a corner in the last minute. I thought this was even more so. At the weekend, even though it was a draw and it wasn't quite the win, I thought it was even more so. I thought it went toe-to-toe for the first whistle, tried to control the ball as much as we possibly can, tried to steal it really high, and it was a really, really open game that, like I said, ebbed and flowed. But ebbed and flowed pretty much up to the second half, where I thought it was completely dominated by us, personally. And you always felt that goal was going to come, and there was chance after chance. And how often do you see Rangers Celtic, any game, home or away, have less shots, a lot less expected goals? It's very, very, very rarely seen. It's like we all see the storylines when Rangers and Celtic drop points and how the narrative turns out. I don't think that was the case. I thought it was a game that was thoroughly deserved to be at least a point for us. And I think Russell Martin, fair play to him, addressed that himself. Again, the style within that as well.
That's what I was going to say. Is that what's so interesting about the game overall from both sides? Is that it's two new managers trying to play a certain way, a similar way, and actually Motherwell did it better out of the two at the weekend.
I thought we I thought we'd done it better in the sense that we had a lot more purpose in how we were playing, a lot more purpose of what we were doing in possession. We made short passes to attack and be progressive and create chances. I just felt like Rangers played the game similar to Panathinaikos away. I thought Rangers played the game as if they were 4-0 up and were just trying to take the sting out of the game and keep the ball, because even in the first half when Rangers probably had more control than we did, I just felt a lot of that was in and around their 18-yard area, and I don't think there was any real progressiveness in how they played. I don't think players were playing forward. I don't think players were running forward. Where on the flip side, I thought we were really aggressive in how we played. Yes, we played short passes, but we played short passes to get it to the final third quickly. And I thought that was probably the biggest difference between the two teams.
The big changes at Motherwell, you know, I think people were surprised at the last season, you included, Andy, when Michael Vimmer left. And to get a new manager in, you finish the season with, I think, what you used to laugh about, 33 or 34 players. You're now probably got a thin squad that probably needs two or three players added. There's been a turnover of staff. There's a new manager. There's a new assistant manager. It's a completely new style of play. I watched you against Clyde at Hamilton, the goalie standing 30 yards up and getting, you know, chipped for that early goal. And I have to say, I thought, I'm not sure this is going to work. But the transformation from that Clyde game through the rest of the cup campaign, which wasn't, you know, without its problems, as you know, Peterhead at home, etc., to get then to that first day of the season and play like you did, it's real testament to the manager, the number two, and the players for being able to adapt. And Russell Martin can tell his players to drop the egos. Clearly there are no egos in that third part dressing room. Clearly it's just a bunch of boys who are willing to listen to the new manager, adapt their style of play and adhere to it and be brave on the ball. You need to be brave on the ball when you're doing that. And by the way, doing it without your best player, who's still hanging about somewhere.
I thought you were talking about Andy.
No, I was. He's still hanging about here.
Oh, right.
And without the second best player, Lennon Miller.
Right, okay. I was just wondering where that was going. Thank you, James. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here reflecting on the weekend's big talking points. So much to get through. So many interesting comments made by managers. There was big performances. There were underwhelming performances. Mistakes made. We've still got a game to go tonight as well, which we're all thoroughly looking forward to. Hopefully the weather doesn't ruin it. But let's go back to the phones, where we are joined by Howard from the Gorbals. How's it going, Howard?
Not too bad, Gordon. Hello, Andy. And hello, Roger.
Hello, Howard.
At the game yesterday, and to me, it was like watching Celtic at the latter part of last season. And we all know the reason why. So my point is this. If Ange Postecoglou can walk into Parkhead and say, I want A, B, C and D, and it's all done smooth, no problem, what are Dermot Desmond and the board doing to try and even give an outside chance at Brendan Rodgers signing a new contract? All the Celtic supporters want is the two players that went away, Kyogo and Kuhn, replaced. Now, there is a rumour, maybe Roger have heard it, that the board feel that, oh, we spent a bit too much last year in certain players. Well, that's been bought and paid for, because these players got us 5 minutes by taking Bayern Munich into extra time. So that extra money is paid for that. Please tell me, what are the board doing? Are they doing this so Rodgers will get up and go? Please tell me, give me something.
It's quite telling, Roger. I'm not saying Howard speaks for every Celtic fan, but it's quite telling that game one of the season, flag day, win, but it's almost like, yeah, but forget about that. What, you know, what about the transfer window? What about the squad?
Well, yeah, I was quite... It's noticeable the change in tone from Brendan Rodgers on Friday lunchtime to Brendan Rodgers after the game yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Very different.
Now, I listened to yourself with you and Scott on Friday night, and Hugh was right. Everything he said.
Did you get the impression Hugh was quite worked up about Brendan Rodgers' comments?
Yeah, yeah. I would have loved to have seen Hugh's face when you saw that team sheet yesterday and both Yang and Ida started the game. But I wonder, Howard, if something's happened between Friday lunchtime and last night, and I don't just mean a 1-0 win against St Mirren. I wonder if Brendan Rodgers knows things are moving. I think that Champions League draw today has been kind to both Celtic and Rangers. You would expect Celtic now to be guaranteed a place in that group stage or the league phase, whatever you call it now.
Just
again,
remind people who they got.
It'll either be Slovan Bratislava, who they put 5 past at Celtic Park last year, or Kerat Almaty of Kazakhstan. And the toughest part of that will be getting in and out of Kazakhstan, because I think Almaty's further east than Pakistan. I was looking at it in the map today, Gordon. It is miles away. Miles and miles away.
So, I mean, Howard, yesterday, was it the type of day that did nothing to calm you down, if that's the right phrase? You know, if Celtic win 5-0, and maybe things feel a bit better.
I think you can tell by my voice. If you look at the end of last season, that is what you saw yesterday. Defence were fine. Midfield, I think we could do with somebody in the midfield with a bit of dig. But it's obvious. It's a winger and a proven centre-forward. Now, if we do get that Slovan, I think it's David Sterlik or something that Celtic were really interested
Sterlik.
In. Yep, but as usual, a couple of million here. It just takes me back to Peter Lawwell and the John McGinn over a couple of £100,000. And look what happened there.
I think the most surprising thing for me is, you know, when Celtic fans were calling in, they were asking where can Celtic stand and go into this season where they can progress again domestic and progress again in Europe. It was the positions for the summer that they're still looking for now. It was a replacement for Kyogo. It was a backup left back to Kieran Tierney. It was a left centre half. So it's not as if it's a replacement for Nicholas Kuhn that's came overnight. It's three areas of the field that Celtic have had to strengthen for the last 2 or 3 months, and I can't give a definitive answer of what's taken so long. You can only speculate that it's because the 25 plus million that was spent on Engels, Ida and Trusty last summer was seen as Celtic overspent, which probably hence the reason why when Celtic's first team lineup coming into the new season, Arne Engels and Trusty both find themselves on the bench as well.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He says his team will be fully prepared for the Champions League playoff. As Rodgers says, that was drawn today, Slovan Bratislava or Karat Almaty.
No, we'll be ready for the games. We'll be ready. Players are working very hard. As I said, well, you always know they're always tense games, these, but we're in a good place, and we'll take that game on when it comes. Players are shaping up very well, working very hard. There's real spirit and solidarity here in the team. So it's going to be tough, but it will also be tough for them. We will accept whatever challenge comes.
It's quite a shift in tone, Roger. I've not been keeping note over the years, but I do think Brendan Rodgers does do this, where if he's got a point to make, he makes it, but then he does move on.
Yeah.
I always felt it was quite unlikely that he was going to sort of, you know, repeat that stuff
double
yesterday
down.
Double down on it. What's your reading of the shift?
I think we get players in. I think the draw probably encourages a bit of spending, even if it's not before the games, if you know what I mean, even if it's, you know, after the games and ahead of getting into the Champions League. I don't know. There are areas Celtic need to strengthen in. You know, Kieran Tierney comes off after an hour or so yesterday with a bit of cramp, and Liam Scales has to be shunted to left back. That's not a situation that can linger through the season. Celtic need to get another left back in. Middle of the park, you know, Howard talks about a player with dig. I don't think that's Brendan's style. Brendan likes Callum McGregor sitting there at 6, and a couple of players working off him yesterday. It was Hatate and Nygren, finished off being Engels and McCowan. Bernardo's there as well. So I think the midfield is now adequately stocked, but the front three isn't. It desperately needs players in there. I'm only kidding, half kidding, when I talk about Yang and Ida. I'm not sure they're the answer as two of Celtic's first choice three front men. It'll be Maeda and probably two more signed before the window closes.
Scott's on the line. How are you, Scott?
Right, guys, how are you? Hope you're all right.
Good, thank you.
Hi, Scott.
Happy new season to you. Oh, God.
It's like we've never been away, Scott.
No, you have been away, and it felt a long time, mate, honestly. No, a couple of points, if you don't mind, if you can bear with me. I was at the game yesterday. We were very slow, very passive, you know, wasn't quick enough until maybe the last 10 minutes, where obviously we had to get a result. And I just think that some of the players, I think that new Swedish boy Nygren, he looks decent. I think if we give him a chance, he looks a decent player. up front, Jesus, you know, where can we go with this? You know, we didn't need to replace Kyogo. He does too flat-footed. He had 3-4 decent chances yesterday. Never put one of them away. Didn't it look like he was scoring yesterday? You know, another thing as well, Trusty, why £5 million and leave him on the bench, you know? And I don't know what Brendan was saying yesterday when he came out with that comment after the game. You know, he was quite... If he was happy seeing that. 99% of the fans yesterday, weren't they happy seeing that? You know, and I know, obviously, you need money to bring people in. And I don't blame Brendan Rodgers for that, and neither does anybody else. I think it's higher up on the board that's a problem. But we don't see what's happening in the background, so we don't know what's going on. But I just think we need, you know, another defender, another left back for obviously replacing Tierney, just in case anything happens to him. Another winger and another striker, a decent, even if it has to be 10 million, we need somebody to score on 22, 23 to 30 goals per season.
It depends, Andy, I suppose, if you're going big picture or if you're going yesterday. And I know they'll overlap at times, but you know, a new centre back or a backup left back, that's not going to make any difference to yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I think what Scott's talking about is, you know, those attacking areas. How many times have we had this conversation though about games like yesterday where, you know, Celtic were kind of always in control and they were always the only team that was probably going to win it, but naturally you are looking for a bit more maybe if you're a Celtic fan in terms of entertainment. What did you make of it?
In terms of the game in general, I thought St Mirren did a great job at stifling the contest as much as they possibly can for as long as they possibly can. I agree with Scott in terms of the overall tempo and intensity of Celtic's play, and I thought there was a real shift in that when the introduction of Luke McEwen and James Forrest. I thought the two of them brought a real infectious energy to the game, movement to go on the ball, to play quicker, to run forward, and I thought that kind of galvanised the team for the rest of the game. And you did almost feel, although it wasn't a vintage Celtic performance, you always felt that goal and ultimately the pressure was going to count towards the end. And I'm talking about the introduction of super subs with James Forrest and Luke McEwen. I watching Yang again yesterday, I just feel as if, I think Yang's performances in a Celtic jersey since he's came, I just feel as if 90% of the time the good ones have been coming off the bench as an impact player. I feel as if any time he's been given that starting berth and it's been his chance to keep a hold of the jersey and make a real statement of intent to keep a hold of it, I just don't think he's done enough. Hence why I think Celtic fans are really, really pushing towards strengthening the areas of the field.
It actually feels like a long time ago, Roger, but last season Celtic came through these tests really well, you know, in the opening part of the season, because teams will go and try and make it difficult for you, and it is hard. It's the hardest bit. It's not easy. St Mirren are one of the best organised teams in the league. They must be a nightmare to break down when they go and do what they were trying to do yesterday. But ultimately, you know, that's always the challenge at home for Celtic in these games. And like we said, this time last year it felt like they were coming through them quite a lot. It's only game one, but it sounds like fans like Scott wanted to see a bit more.
Yeah, I can understand. Listen, St Mirren went there on Trophy Day in May and they had the lead to James Forrest to, you know, come on and score the 94th minute to get an equaliser. So it's not dissimilar. St Mirren are a good team, you need to remember, Gordon. You know, they've been in the top six the last 3 years. They've shown more consistency in the top six than Aberdeen, Hearts or Hibs have in the last 3 years. So Stephen Robinson has them really well drilled. They've produced that kind of performance at Celtic Park before. I never thought Celtic were in danger of losing the game. They've hit the woodwork three times. Callum McGregor's had one disallowed for the handball with VAR, and then they get the breakthrough, but they probably deserved the win. I understand what the fans mean. The words from Brendan on Friday would still be ringing in the fans' ears as they were going to the game yesterday, and they'll be thinking, oh, we don't have Kyogo anymore, we don't have Nicholas Kuhn or Matt O'Reilly, and Jota's injured, and who's going to score the goals? And you know, you can see it all building up to something, but listen, Celtic got the win, and that's, at this stage of the summer, this stage of the season, it's all you can really ask.
Thank you very much to Scott in Cambuslang. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Grade one. Make me a winner. If you enter Make Me A Winner now, you could be staring at £546,000. It is a ridiculous sum of money, and you can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. The texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For one entry, just text the word yes to 61025. Those texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269340. The calls are charged at a standard rate, and it is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5pm on Friday. It's £546,000. Go to makemeawinner.co.uk.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are on the line. Remember, every caller who comes on tonight goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to Air Races. It's the sounds of summer race night this Saturday. Should be a fantastic night out, and all you need to do is call up, talk football, which you'd probably want to do anyway, and you're in the hat for the tickets. Jamie would be just down the road, I'd imagine. Jamie's in Ayrshire, so close for you, Jamie, if you win the tickets. How are you?
Yes, very well, folks. Yourself?
Good, thank you. Good. What made you call tonight?
Just on the Rangers situation. Obviously, I've been a Rangers fan for quite a while. And I think the major problem at Rangers has been certainly recruitment for... Listen, it's been over a decade now that the recruitment's been absolutely shocking. And I'm a bit concerned that the role that Russell Martin's playing in this... I'll probably ask Andy this. Would he know anything in terms of, obviously, his role as now head coach? He's not a manager as such, which is the first time Rangers have done that, which tells me that the new owners coming in are basically influencing who's coming in and who's coming out. And the guys that they certainly brought in at the minute are absolutely not good enough for Rangers Football Club.
Like who?
And it's a major concern.
Who are the new signings? Who are the ones you're not liking, Jamie?
Well, I mean, if you go through the squad, it's so imbalanced. I watched the first game of the season and I'm going, Raskin's playing left, Aarons is playing left, you know, the young lad that played on the left as well. Scored a great goal, but, you know, young lads, you give them a chance, it's not going to be solid for them for the season. But the whole balance of the team on the left-hand side has been a major issue. Joe Rothwell coming into the middle of the park as a six. Me, I think Raskin's a better player than him in that position. I don't see anything else that he's bringing to the table. I think, you know, Dowell on the right-hand side, I'm 51, I think I could beat him in a foot race.
Oh, listen, Andy, tell Asgard still to come back in. Rangers fans have high hopes. By the way, he's quickly becoming one of these sort of this Jordan Rossiter type.
Yeah.
But he was meant to be touch and go for the first Panathinaikos game. He's still out for tomorrow night. Anyway, that
Ham Zagerman was the same for the second leg.
Yeah,
so
that's maybe a separate issue. But it's, the midfield is interesting because Diomande and Raskin, apparently, according to most people, looks like maybe they were the ones that were subject to the comments from Russell Martin. Are they working in that midfield? Is Joe Rothwell, you know, I think Jamie makes some interesting points.
Yeah, well, I think at the moment, I don't think the dynamic of the midfield three is working. I do think it does have potential to work, but I think, such as Russell Martin's style, I do think Telo Asgard's one that I do predict will be in that midfield three one way or another. And like Jamie says, I think if anyone's going to be sacrificed, although he's just been signed, I can't see him not playing Diomande. I can't see him not playing Nico Raskin. And by all accounts, I do think that Nico Raskin does have attributes to play as a number eight. But given what we've seen from him last year, I thought he was one of Rangers' standout performers throughout the full season, playing in that number six role. So I think he will be the one that goes back into his natural position. I just think at this moment in time, I think Rangers are really struggling to, number one, progress the ball up the pitch and create multiple chances and have sustained periods of pressure in the opposition's half. I think the role of Raskin and Diomande at the moment is causing some issues. They're playing really wide. They're splitting away from the middle of the pitch. And I think any straight ball into Danilo, I don't really think he has that bounce link play in the middle of the pitch. And I just think at the moment it's all becoming really stretched. And to top all that, Max Aaron's playing out of position, naturally coming inside into his right foot. And obviously Keenan Dill playing on the right of the front three. So yes, Rangers are a work in progress. I still expect them to improve drastically from now to even the end of the transfer window. But at this moment in time, there's certainly square pegs and round holes.
Just quickly, Roger, because Jamie's core point was about Russell Martin being a head coach and rather than a manager. And Jamie says, you know, the new owners must be picking who's coming in. I don't think Andrew Kavanagh's, you know, signing players. Clearly, there is a different structure with Kevin Thelwell, who's the sporting director. But anything to to worry well, Jamie there?
If there's going to be improvement, I don't think he's necessarily going to find improvement with some of the players who played at the weekend. I think the side that has been playing, and I know Gassama came in for Finlay Curtis, but the side that's been playing, I think, will not be the side that plays beyond the transfer window. I can't see Danilo playing. I can't see Dowell playing. And there are natural question marks about Tavernier.
Well, Russell Martin asked today if he, or you know, to elaborate or how he looks back on his criticisms at the weekend. He says it's all just about being honest.
There's not a choice to be honest sometimes and into sometimes not. That's how I feel in life in general and in my job, and it's how I've been for 6 years with the players. There's been a couple of times when I've done it at previous clubs and never had to do it again. But it's the same conversation with the players, and then when they come in and they look at stuff, I think they understand why I would say it. So it's not an attack on anyone personally. It's about us as a football club being stronger and understanding what we need to actually bring success and to win here. So it's not a contrived thing. It's not like, oh, he's gone early and all this stuff. And I saw, I had a few messages about it. And it's not an attack on anyone personally. It's about making sure we understand as a club, the players, the staff, the supporters, what's acceptable and what's going to help us win. And the stuff that hurt us on Saturday shouldn't be the stuff that hurts us.
Craig is on the line. Craig, this stuff's all become as interesting as the performances themselves in a way. What's your reading of it?
I'll be honest with you, Gordon, that's actually annoyed me, just listening to that, because one of my main points was Russell Martin, and I've not went out seeking for these clips, but after Saturday, I've seen him absolutely slaughter these players after getting beat 5-0 by Leicester when he was Southampton manager, and a game against Bournemouth. And it was pretty much copy and paste what he said on Saturday. So for him to come out and say, I've done this one time before and it's never happened again, and he also said in one of those clips, I will never, ever, ever attack my players, and that's what he did on Saturday. So I do have my concerns about him going forward. I'll be honest, over the summer I bought into the kind of hype about his style of football. See that supposed high line and, you know, fast interchanging passing? I've seen none of that against Panathinaikos over two games or Motherwell. I was at the game against Motherwell on Saturday. I turned to my mate and I says, where's this high line we're supposed to be playing? And this was in the first half. I know we had a few chances, but and yes, it's a work in progress, but I don't see it. I don't see it. And the concerning thing for me is I go back 3 months or 3 or 4 months to a club legend, Barry Ferguson, was in charge, and he came out and slaughtered the players. I think it was ironically after Motherwell. And he said, these players do not take on instruction. And he was raging. It might have been the Hibs game, but it was one of the games at Ibrox. And he was raging. And that's my concern, because I think I saw a stat, it was something like, it might have been Rogers' column in the Sun on YouTube, it was like nine out of the 11 that finished the game were here last season. And it's, I know we've brought in the boy from Tottenham and we've signed Antman today and stuff like that, and you need to give the guy time, but there's alarm bells ringing, you know, and like I say, listening to that wasn't going to be my main point, but that's actually angered me a wee bit, hearing him say that.
Roger, I did see this clip earlier, someone dug it out and it was a Bournemouth game, and he actually, Russell Martin said something similar then about self-preservation. That was the one that really jumped out.
That was it. Listen, maybe he felt the same on Saturday night that he felt at that time and just used the same phrase. But fascinating to see how it goes. I think players will leave the football club. More players will come into the football club. The Rangers team will evolve. Russell Martin has a definite style of play that he wants to play. He's maybe found that the Rangers don't have players who necessarily suit that style. And he won't evolve his style, but he will evolve the squad. So that might mean a bit of chopping and changing in the Rangers squad going forward. But they're going to have to improve quickly.
Thank you very much to Craig on the line. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
If you're just getting back into the swing of things and you missed it last Monday, huge developments. Roger Hanna has been pulled back from -2 to -1 on Beat the Pundit, but he's been joined by Andy Halliday. Too good at this. So he's on -1 as well, and you can take them on when we return. Get your calls in before 7.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It was a bumper opening weekend to the Scottish Premiership. It's not even finished yet. We've got an absolute cracker between a new look Hearts and Scottish Cup winners Aberdeen, no less, at Tynecastle tonight. So we'll continue to preview that. If you think there's anything we've missed that we must cover, please do pick up the phone, because it is so busy. There's so much between Rangers' performance and then Russell Martin's comments. They've signed Oliver Antman. Celtic fans went into Flag Day probably a bit hyped up, given Brendan Rodgers' comments on Friday. Then there was a performance and the result that followed there as well. So we're spinning a lot of plates here, but please get in touch. Every caller who gets through tonight into the hat for a pair of tickets to Air Races as well. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. You two, who played last week again? Was it Andy Halliday?
Andy, me, yeah.
Minus one. Your first ever venture into minus one, yep. And you came out on top. Lewis is a Motherwell fan. How are you, Lewis?
All good, how are you?
Enjoy the weekend.
Hi, brilliant. To the first, second half, you were outstanding.
I know, I was kicking myself. You know, that used to be my routine. If I left here, if I could make the second half, I would always do it. But I thought I was just touch and go for that, because it was a half five, wasn't it? Half five mm-hmm. kickoff, and I thought, right, listen to the radio and I watch the second half. Missed the best bit. But anyway, heads it will be Andy
classic.
Heads it will be Andy Halliday, tails it will be Roger Hanna. Both on minus one, Lewis. So let's see how we go. The new Beat the Pundit coin has survived the first week, and it is Roger Hanna, his first appearance of the new season.
Good.
On minus
good
one on now, Lewis. Not minus two.
You
ready, Lewis?
Aye, all good.
Good. We'll give Roger something else to listen to, and he can't hear your answers. So 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay? Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which manager won Livy promotion in 2018?
David Hopkins.
Before yesterday, who was the last team Celtic played in the league?
St Mirren.
Name the only team in the Championship to win on Saturday.
Queen's Park.
Where are Hamilton playing their home games this season?
Broadwood, Common Hills.
Oliver Antman signed from Go Ahead Eagles. Which country do they play in?
Holland.
True or false, Russell Martin and Jens Bertel Askew were teammates?
True.
Aberdeen manager Jimmy Tilleen was born in which decade?
80s.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, can you hear us?
Yep. Good bit of yellow there. Like a bit of yellow.
No, you just got to be smiling in his face. Are you happy with that? You look genuinely chuffed.
I have to say, over the summer, I don't know whether Andrew McLean's getting anything to do with Greatest Hits Radio.
I would think not, to be honest.
Music wasn't as great at 7 o'clock.
All right.
No, 20 past six it was, wasn't it? We did beat the pundit. This is better.
I thought it was only Tony Orlando, wasn't it?
Oh, not at all, no.
Not three times.
Uh-huh.
This is the year. I think we need to take that on a level.
Yeah, I do as well.
Like a live performance or something. Or,
No.
I'm going to really embarrass myself here. I should just avoid it, but I always get myself. Tony Orlando, he's still with us? Tony Orlando?
No, I don't think so.
No, right, just check.
If he phones into the producers, wouldn't bother. We can Google that in a minute.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say something about a guest appearance. I thought I'd better check what his sort of status is currently, but we'll move on. Right, same set of questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
You just get you Googling
I
Tony
am actually,
Orlando.
Yeah.
And what's the verdict?
Oh, yes, still with his.
Oh, yes, good.
He's 81.
There we go then.
Wow. Where's the best?
He actually looks a bit like Gordon DL.
Where's the best? Tell me it's my guy.
I think we could get a video message, surely.
Mm-hmm. Surely.
The worldwide reach of this show, I think a video message from Tony Orlando offering a duet with you, Roger Hanna, is the least we can do. Anyway, are you ready?
Go.
Enough about that. Your 30
you
seconds
put me off now. Go.
Starts now. Which manager won Livy promotion in 2018?
Gary Holt.
Before yesterday, who was the last team Celtic played in the league?
St Mirren.
Name the only team in the Championship to win on Saturday.
St Johnstone.
Where are Hamilton playing their home games this season?
Broadwood.
Oliver Antman signed from Go Ahead Eagles, but which country do they play in?
Netherlands.
True or false, Russell Martin and Jens Bertel Askew were teammates?
True.
Aberdeen manager Jimmy Tilleen was born in which decade?
In the 1980s.
Okay.
It's gone for a 10.
Think so?
Aye, I think so. Okay. Don't tell me Jimmy Tilleen's a 90s.
I wasn't so sure. I thought, crack on.
Lewis, how do you think you did?
I think I made a draw.
No way.
Lewis is good.
Wow, Lewis.
Lewis is really good. That's all I'm going to say. Because David Hopkin.
Oh, is it David Hopkin that brought them up?
He did bring them up.
It was Partick.
Oh, in tell the you playoffs. What, you could
have shone Lewis got it.
You could have shone a light in my eye.
So straight away,
two down.
I don't need to hear anything. I know Lewis is a player. See, if you're getting that off the bat, you know Lewis is a player, and he's essentially two up because Roger starts on minus one. Before yesterday, the last team Celtic played in the league was St Mirren, and Lewis got it as well. So he stays two up. However, then I started to wonder. I thought there's a chink in Lewis's armour here. He went Queen's Park. It was St Johnston, the only team to win on Saturday.
Who
Roger, we don't talk about that.
Okay.
That's convincingly. Easy to three for Lewis as well.
I know, that's the thing. So Roger moves within one. Hamilton are playing their home games at Broadwood this season, but you both got it. Lewis stays one in front. Oliver Antman, Go Ahead Eagles, the Netherlands, both got it. Still one in it. Russell Martin, Jens Bertel Askew were teammates at Norwich between 2009-2011. Both got it. Aberdeen manager, Jimmy Tilleen.
Got it by the 80s.
It's the 70s.
No way.
It is the 70s.
Wow.
And Lewis didn't get it either, but it didn't matter.
Well
Lewis.
Done, Lewis.
What an effort.
Giant.
Is that the first time you've played?
No, I beat Marvin Balter for.
Ah, that's easier. That's them. They can do that, for goodness sake. But
fair no. play.
Tell you what, we reduced Roger back to his minus one. We thought he'd be tough to beat, and you've done him
well
in week
done, Lewis.
Two, Lewis.
Well done.
Superb.
Cheers.
Are you just central Motherwell? Where are you from? Close enough for Gordon DL to drop the ball in?
No, just keep having far away from my house, thank you.
That's well answered, that, to be fair. Yeah, Jimmy Tilleen, 1978, for what it's
really?
Worth.
Nearly as old as Tony Orlando.
What 45? He looks well.
What'll that become, 47?
47.
Oh, right. Well, you're right.
Lewis, arithmetic. He's good at beat the pundit, Andy Halliday, just not counting so much. What did Saturday do for you then, Lewis, in terms of your thoughts in the season? Because the League Cup hadn't been brilliant, had it? But did you feel it had been building up to this?
Aye, I think it got better. Like, Clyde, we started off, like, it's the first time I've seen this day. Like, why is that keeper, like, 30 yards out?
You and me,
Peter
both.
Peter Head is a bit of a slog, but then you get the win. Morton was better, and again, Serta Belinda played really well as well then. And the other Saturday, started off dodgy, like, give it away, like, kind of too close to the goal a few times, but you've got to buy into it. Like, eventually, you've seen many times that we actually, like, played through the press rather than just being the ball away. And then the second half, I thought, one of the best balls I've seen from Motherwell in years, to be honest.
Give us the inside track on it, Andy. Was Saturday just the culmination of everything that's clearly been, you know, hammered home over pre-season? Is this manager going to be, you know, non-negotiable? This is the way we play it. You know, is that what we saw at the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you also seen a set of players that followed out the game plan extremely well. And even parts of the first half that weren't so good, I don't think it was down to deviating away from what was asked. I just thought it was a couple of individual errors, just all natural, a part of the process when you're implementing a new style. But for me, the second half was followed down to a tee, along with 11 players that performed extremely well. So it was a great afternoon. Like I said, probably slight frustration that don't get the 3 points, but listen, it's obviously a great start to the season.
And to really commit to this point, we probably have to wait, because we don't know how Motherwell are going to get on next week and the week after and the week after, right? So we don't know how successful this style is going to be over the piece. But even just based on sort of how good that second 45 minutes was, Andy, is it proof of what can be done if it's coached right and it's carried out right? Because I won't name any of your teammates, right, but I think there are probably some that maybe people from the outside would say you can't play that way with him, or he can't do that, you know. But if it's worked on well enough, you can get there.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
well, I think if you look at our starting lineup, I think it's more suited to this style than if we were a team that everybody went up the pitch for goal kicks and we banged it long and we tried to feed off second balls. I don't really think that's the type of personnel that actually suits what we've got. So it's interesting that, you know, Lewis mentioned the word buy-in. I think that's what you need. You need the fans to buy into what we're trying to do, and there are going to be mistakes, and there's been loads of them so far. And I've got to say, I think the fans have bought in it extremely well. And you know, the manager spoke about it with Paul McGinn's mistake that leads to the corner. But you won't hear throughout a season the amount of times that I hear a team bang it long and the team go up the pitch and score, because it's perceived that you've lost the ball 80 yards away from the goal.
But no,
the
fact no never says, or you shouldn't have kicked it longer.
Absolutely. The fact of the matter is, that's how you turned over possession that led to that goal. So at the end of the day, it's you're going to make mistakes throughout the season, but you can see from how we try to play, there was way more positives than negatives.
The big test with these things always comes when there's a high profile mistake. You know, when the goalie plays at the centre half and the miss hit and the centre forward runs in and scores a goal, that's when, you know, you talk about supporter buy-in, that's when the supporter buy-in is really tested, you know, at moments like that, because it is the ultimate risk and reward footballing philosophy. If it works, it looks brilliant. Motherwell second half were brilliant, but when mistakes are made in that system, they quite often cost a goal.
I actually wonder then, you tell me, because I don't really know exactly how these things work. Is the real test actually going to be playing teams that
100%
don't press you? Because in a way, and this is mad to say, because it should have been the other way around in terms of resources, Rangers played into Motherwell's hands, which is an incredible sentence to utter.
No, 100%. But I think that's even, I've said in the past, even when I played for Rangers, some of my easier games of football were European games, when the team had loads of the ball and it was a bit more of a tactical fare and it wasn't hustle and bustle 100 mile an hour. I'd argue that next week, St Mirren away, will be a harder test in how we're trying to play than Rangers at home. And I think that's something that might sound a bit silly, but I think if you can appreciate what one team's trying to do and obviously Rangers try to play a similar style, you can understand.
Because again, based on one game, but maybe other teams were so impressed by that performance at the weekend, and I'm not saying St Mirren, Dundee, whoever it may be, they say, well, do you know what, actually we're going to sit off Motherwell because they want us to come to the edge of their box, they want to pass round us, so how does that work then? Or then if you go and press a team who is more direct, over your head,
I bet Stephen Robinson's team don't sit off you. I don't disagree
but what I mean is, you see the difference, the League Cup group stages actually were quite challenging because Peterhead just want to come back to the edge of their box as they should do, and so they Clyde, and all of a sudden you get up to that point and that, you know, that's where it can be hard.
And as someone, forget about a Motherwell head or a current professional head, as someone who loves his football, loves that side of the game, I think it's so exciting for Scottish football because I think we do have so much more diversity in the teams in the league this year of how they're trying to play. I think we've got, you know, possession based style, fast and direct, really direct, counter attack, and I think it's going to make for a lot of good viewing this season.
And even what was David Friel saying from Rugby Park on Saturday, even Livingston, I should say, the ultimate, you know, they were branded the ultimate long ball team, are now overplaying.
And they get caught a couple of times.
The Falkirk Dundee United was the same. I thought it was a great watch, two different styles. I thought Hibs and Dundee was clearly the same, and I think we're going to get treated into another really good one tonight as well.
But then on that, because I went to Falkirk yesterday having not seen them a lot in person in the Championship last season, I don't think they actually sort of played as much as I had heard, if you like. You know, they're actually not scared to go and spin it in behind or turn it over their shoulder.
They weren't last year either. I watched them, I think it was Rafe Rovers away towards the end of last season, where I thought they were really direct at times, but in the right moments. Because I said this, which is probably a slight criticism, I thought Rangers at the weekend, when we go man for man from goal kicks in the second half, if teams go man for man against Man City and teams go man for man against Liverpool, they go long. Whereas I felt as if Rangers kept trying to overplay, kept losing the ball in certain areas of the pitch, which just built the momentum for us in the second half.
I think John McGlynn says to them, play when you can, but when you can't, get it up. And by the way, he's got the ideal man to get it up to now. He's got Brian Graham there as a focal point for the attack. He's got Arfield running off. He's got legs round about. You're quite right to pick out Dylan Tate and Brad Spencer, who will fit in nicely in the Premiership this season. They've got bits and bobs of quality. Calvin Miller on the way there. Ethan Roth has scored a goal. I actually think they'll be fine.
Loved that game yesterday, by the way. Good entertainment. So any Falkirk or Dundee United fans, give us a call. Lewis, thank you and well done. Pumbling Roger Hanna on week two of this season.
Bottom of the league, Bottom of the league, Roger.
I've just had a text with Tony Orlando saying he's not doing a duet now.
Somewhere in a
he's ashamed.
Somewhere in a bath in Motherwell, a pensioner is splashing around with glee. They'll leave you with that image.
I'm not sure he's in Motherwell.
Who'd have thought Roger Hanna would start in the zero second weekend this season?
Can't believe it. Motherwell
I'm going to need to park my ego.
I've always known this, but clearly Motherwell the place to be tonight. Jamie's also there, although he's a Celtic fan. What's your point, Jamie?
How we doing, panel? How we doing, Roger?
Hey, Jamie.
First thing tonight.
What are you thinking?
Just looking for the panel's thoughts on what they thought of the chopped off goal for Callum McGregor. I mean, it seemed to be in a point blank range, and he's really that place to come to put his arm. My point of view, I just think the rules a bit shady. In my point of view, what does the panel think?
You can obviously have a certain amount of debate on whether the rules correct or not, but obviously the officials have just got to follow that, and yeah, based on the letter of the law. Mm. Although we do take close proximity into account nowadays, not if it's the direct goal scorer, and that's what happened with Callum McGregor. I think it actually hits his arm twice, or certainly two different parts of his arm before he puts it in the back of the net. I don't think the referee and VAR got much wrong there.
I think, Roger, we've been maybe, because we've overanalyzed all these other handballs now, where we talk about proximity, hand in a arm in a natural position, all that sort of stuff. Because Callum McGregor scores, just for the avoidance of doubt, none of it matters. Does it hit Callum McGregor's arm? Yes.
That's the thing. It's a mad thing.
If the goal can't stand.
If it hits Callum McGregor there in the arm and falls down for Dyson Ryder to smack in the bottom corner, the goal would probably have stood.
Or if it hits Callum McGregor like that in his own box, it won't be a penalty.
No.
But the goal can't stand. It's just
the rule. And Jamie's right to question the rule. You can like the rule, dislike the rule, but, you know, it is the rule. And I think, you know, Callum is a bit unlucky. Great celebration. I think he was just trying to put the officials off. He was celebrating so much.
Because you could see him gesturing, saying it hit me in the shoulder, but it definitely hits his elbow.
Yeah.
Andy, there's no other way at that. So it just has to be the correct call, that one. There's nothing anyone can do about it, really.
That's a fact of the matter. That's a correct call. I actually don't know this. I know you're a bit more of a stickler for the rules than myself. If that does hit Callum McGregor, where it does hit him, and he's the one that shoots and it's going a yard by the post and it deflects off
for goodness sake.
Mumper and goes in. Does the goal stand? No, because I generally don't know that.
Call Willie.
How far away to go?
Get Willie on the phone.
It all does seem a wee bit bizarre when you take that into account.
Yeah, good question. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, we'll need to find that out.
But it's one of those, Roger.
Are you doing your Willie show this year?
My what, sorry?
Your Willie show.
Are you going to have to rephrase that? I'm
your,
afraid.
Your VAR review with SFA referee's head, William Collum.
I prefer the other one. Hey, Willie show's brilliant.
I don't know what I'm allowed to reveal or not, but it will exist. There are changes to it. That's what I can say to you.
You can't reveal the Willie show.
I can't. The Willie show is kept under wraps for now.
Are they doing that thing they did at the start last year where you both got to wear the same thing?
No, do you know what was funny? So last week we went to like all the players get it as well, don't they? The referees come and give you a presentation at the start of the season.
It was lasted probably a lot longer than other clubs.
Well, were you arguing?
I was arguing, but also every clip involved Motherwell.
Tell me about it, because we got the same presentation. Once it got to the fifth Motherwell clip, I couldn't hold my tongue and had to say something. But we had some very argumentative members of the media, and ours and ours dragged on a bit as well.
Michael Stewart.
I didn't say that. Why are you saying that?
Just guessing.
Some members of the media that wanted to raise a few points. And Willie Collum had on the infamous outfit that him and I accidentally matched on before. But the VAR review will return. Slightly different guise to it, but it'll be back. Is that all right? Is that the answer you were looking for?
Genuinely, I thought it was one of the great advances last season.
I thought it was a really good idea.
I think he's done very well. Well,
yeah.
I think the transparency is really refreshing. You might disagree with a lot, but it's a start. Everyone asks for a bit more communication, a bit more accountability for refs.
Jamie, I don't know if that helps or clears up anything. It's just, you know, because Callum McGregor scores, that the goal has to be ruled out. Is that, I don't know, like I say, make you feel any better about it? Can you hear us, Jamie? I think we've lost him anyway. It's a question worth asking. I got a few tweets about it, to be fair.
I've got a feeling that won't even make the edit of the Wally show.
No, unless it's a very quiet month. He'll be hoping it makes it, because that would tell you it's been a really quiet
month. I tell you what will make it, his howler. That'll make it.
Any Kilmarnock fans want to phone in? And
where's Simon?
I argue about that, because Andy Halliday's on Killy's side, Roger Hannah not so much. We'll take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to kick off at Tynecastle, which should be a cracker tonight. I'm going to do the teams for you in just a second. Let me give you this teaser tonight, and it's, you two will like it.
Oh, I love it.
You two really, really like it. I feel like this is just peak Monday night level of difficulty. Roger Hanna's trying to redeem himself after a very rare defeat on Beat the Pundit. That will send shockwaves across Scottish football. Yeah,
I think that's a bigger shock than Rangers Motherwell.
I agree with you. I think when I'm out and about this week, people will be wanting to discuss your defeat.
Was it up and down the leagues? Was there a bigger shock than that? I don't think so.
The weekend?
No. An early season favourite getting toppled. East Kilbride losing their opening league game. Yeah, something like similar.
That surprised me.
Yeah, because they're not proven in that division, whereas you are. So, anyway, the crazy pony says, can you name 9 players that have played in Europe for 3 of the 5 teams that are representing Scotland in Europe this season?
Say that again.
So, 9 players that have played in Europe for...
Look at this, sorry. This baffles me every week.
The shorthand.
This Egyptian writing that somehow reads something.
The hieroglyphics over there, I know.
Incredible, isn't it? Right. 3 of the 5 teams.
So, 9 players that have played in Europe for 3 of the 5 teams that are in Europe season. So they must have played in Europe, though. So 9 players that have played in Europe for 3 of our 5 teams this season. So, to make it simple for you, we're looking for 9 players that have played in Europe for
There's no time restrictions in that.
Celtic, Rangers, Hibs, Aberdeen, Dundee, United. And they must have played in Europe for those, though. 3 of them.
Barry Robson.
Yes, Dundee United, Celtic and Aberdeen. Well done.
And Rangers, technically.
But not in Europe. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, in Europe.
That's the key. That's the key.
Stephen Presley.
Yes, Dundee United, Rangers and Celtic.
Kenny Miller. Always a good answer.
No?
No play for Hibs?
Hasn't played for Hibs in Europe.
Okay.
Good question, isn't it?
I don't think Scott Brown would name one.
Yes, actually. Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll leave it there then, because that's a good start. Thanks to the crazy pony. Your question that you send in to us doesn't have to be as difficult as that, but any question you can, send it over to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. Let me just give you the... In fact, John, we'll do one more call, then we'll do teams from Tynecastle. So Billy is on the line. How are you, Billy?
How are you doing, lads?
What made you call tonight, Billy?
It was just obviously the result on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean? And the way Russell Martin's called certain players out, know what I mean, with egos, I actually think 2 of them are James Tavernier and Merso Kieran Dowell, because Longuello's actually out on the left wing. When he gets through, he gets through Kieran Dowell and James Tavernier as if they're a car wash. And then he runs straight into the penalty area. And the two of them are just jogging back as if, I mean, somebody else will get it.
That's such a good description. I can see them now. The two big rotating brushes. And he goes
that's
through them.
So bad.
I can see that. That's actually, because at first I thought, I'm not sure.
The Peugeot at the left back.
Roger, the old, right. Because we've all, let's be honest, anyone with a vested interest has done this. He's speaking about egos. He's had a real pop. Who's he talking about? Earlier on, we spoke about Raskin Diamande. The Dowell one interests me a lot, and Billy thinks it is Kieran Dowell. However, Russell Martin continues to play Kieran Dowell. Yeah. Russell Martin has praised Kieran Dowell. Russell Martin has put Kieran Dowell in his leadership group. So that would make me think, I'll leave Andy out of this, I think it's a bit awkward, you know, being as a fellow pro. That would make me think that it's not Kieran Dowell. However, as Billy says, if you're going to analyse the goal, Kieran Dowell doesn't cover himself in glory. And there was another one that Longuello played that 1-2, goes down the line, and it's even worse.
He ambles back.
He properly just strolls back. So Is it aimed at Kieran Dowell or is it not? Because I feel like there's a few conflicting things there.
Well, I think we'll soon find out when you see the team selection tomorrow night. For me, Kieran Dowell shouldn't have been in the Rangers team at the start of the season. Kieran Dowell has done nothing in his Rangers career to justify a run of games in the Rangers first team. And you can, you know, whether that's down to the things that Russell Martin was talking about, ego, self-preservation, or whether it's just the fact that he's in the wrong movie. He will soon be out the team. Danilo, he's had a chance at the start of the season when Dessers and Eggerman weren't right. He'll soon be out the team. Others might be out the team with them as well, because the manager is clearly unhappy at the application of a number of these players. And yeah, I think Billy's right. Kieran Dowell's probably up there.
Is the manager right to say what he said, Billy?
100%. No, I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, he's only in the door 5-6 weeks, but Barry Ferguson called them out as well. And in all honesty, I mean, why he says Tiernan Dowell's one of his main men, he's summed total in the two games against Panathinaikos. He lasted 72 minutes in the first one and done absolutely nothing. He lasted 73 minutes in the second one, and his sum total out of 180 minutes against Panathinaikos was when they were breaking through. He turned one for a team and broke the man down. Tiernan Dowell should never wear a Rangers jersey ever again.
This is what I'm saying, Roger. This stuff about the leadership group, it just suggests that he's not that far out the picture. How do those areas shape up now, though? Because such was the biz from the weekend. We've not spoken about Rangers have actually signed Oliver Antman today.
Yeah, and they've also signed Mikey Moore, who hasn't been seen yet, and the first team registration wasn't through for Fir Park at the weekend. Nobody's seen Tello Asgard in a competitive game yet. That's a Gordon DL Short thing going.
Please clap that.
What's happened there?
Get that clapped.
One beat the pundit defeat and he's malfunctioning all over the place. You know,
there's Ant-Man, Moore, Asgard. Gassama has actually started brightly. So how do you fit all of them in? You know, is there going to be a slight tweak in that front area? I think Dessers will start tomorrow night. So it'll be fascinating
to see.
He's gone.
Andy Halliday's absolutely gone. We're never getting him back. Nah, that wasn't as good. Gordon DL's proper.
Gordon DL's was classic.
Anyway, his was Kermit the Frog.
We're 3.5 hours away from finding out if Keenan Dowell starts tomorrow night. Because if Mikey Moore and Oliver Antman aren't registered in time before
we've
11 o'clock,
surely we've got to commit to Antman and not Ant-Man.
It's Ant-Man.
No. Spider-Man in Boswell Street. Ant-Man in Edmonton Road.
Ant-Man.
It can't be Ant-Man.
It's Ant-Man.
Come on.
Oh,
it's brilliant.
It's absolutely terrific.
What do you think, Andy? I suppose you're right. If they're not, registration isn't through in time, we do see Kieran Dowell, or do we?
I think we do. I think your only other alternative, if they two aren't included in the squad, is Oscar Cortez, who by all accounts I don't imagine he's fancying at this present moment.
No. Again, no, singled out for praise after the Middlesbrough game.
No.
Yeah. Which I watched and I was surprised at the singling out of praise.
Was it more to do with the application?
Yeah, but even then, it never stood out to me as one that was, you know, running his socks off for.
How did you not get the half time draw for Middlesbrough Rangers now that I think about it?
Sorry?
How did you not get to do the half time draw?
I know. You're disappointed. I never got invited to that.
Both clubs.
But it wouldn't surprise me if Kieran Dowell starting in that wide berth again tomorrow. But that being said, I think if Mikey Moore and Ant-Man are registered in time, then could be a couple of changes there.
Is that where the sort of importance of just navigating your way through these early stages is huge for Russell Martin? Because he says the squad will look different, and well, it will, because the players literally there already in reserve. But you just have to make sure Europe doesn't become a disaster until such that, which, to be fair, it can't really now, can it? Because they're at least guaranteed
Europe till December.
So,
yeah.
You know, worst case,
of course, was the big one.
So worst case scenario, that's fine. You just don't want to lose too much ground in the league. But what, we just go game to game at the moment. No, with the best will in the world, as much as they're criticising them, Rangers have got a home game against Dundee at the weekend,
and then they've got Arlo
and Celtic
the
go
Cup
to.
Have you Celtic at Aberdeen on Sunday lunch?
So it's not. It's not an outlandish thing to suggest. You know, maybe there could be points dropped there, but who knows?
It's always a funny month, this first month of the season, simply because squads aren't complete. You don't know who's going out the door. You don't know who's coming in the door. We're sitting here, August the 4th, is it? I think by the time we get to September the 4th, we'll be able to give a proper appraisal of how this season's going to work out. Could Rangers get another 3 or 4 players in, and the ones who won't drop their egos go out? And will Brendan Rodgers get the ones in that he wants to bring in, particularly in that forward area for Celtic?
Funny month, but I don't know if it was funny as that last 5 minutes. That car wash analogy was brilliant as well.
Yeah. By the way, that's one of the best.
Aye. Need a clip of the voice break.
That was really good. I'm sure they'll be on it for sure. Let's look ahead to Hearts against Aberdeen, because it's not too far away. An absolute cracker. What a fixture that is to kick off any season. I think particularly though, right now, because of all the intrigue. So Aberdeen come into this on the back of winning the Scottish Cup. Hearts have Derek McInnes as their manager. They've got Tony Bloom investment. They've got Tony Bloom speaking last night and again this evening on Sky, talking about splitting the Old Firm, trying to win the league, believes it can be done, very confident it can be done. So a lot of intrigue tonight. Hearts go with Clark in goal, a back three of Kent, Halkett and Finlay. Bortrevnik, is that how we saying that? Bortgrevink. Yeah,
normal pronunciation.
McEntee, Devlin and Milne. Spittle in behind Shankland and Claudio Braga.
Sorry to interrupt. Have you heard the Claudio Braga song?
That will make its way to you in not too distant future. Mitov in goal for Aberdeen. Jensen, Milne, Noster and Shinney at the back. Milanovic, Clarkson, Hilton, Nielsen and Keskinen. And Achucci behind Yenge. So a new look attack for Aberdeen. What are you thinking tonight?
I tell you what I'm thinking. Two teams that have signed a plethora of new players. And what is that? Is that only seven new signings across?
I was thinking
four,
particularly Hearts.
Four for Hearts, three for Aberdeen.
Hardly any in the Hearts team, is
there? Well, four, I believe.
Three? Oh, well, Finlay, yeah. But it's because there's a familiarity there of having played
and
in the
three
league.
Three for Aberdeen?
Yeah.
Well, they better perform tonight because Tony Bloom, the new investor, is there, and he spoke to the Foundation of Hearts supporters last night, spoke to the media today. He's attending his first Hearts game tonight. He is making predictions that they will challenge for a league title in the next decade. They can be regulars in the Champions League in the next decade. Every journey starts with a first step, and they better make sure there's no missteps in front of Mr. Bloom this evening.
What do you think of those teams, Roger?
Not surprising. Well, the first thing, Hearts with a back three looks like, doesn't it? Kent, Halkett and Stuart Finlay. A couple of wing backs who are effectively full backs, so it's maybe not as cavalier as I was expecting Derek McInnes to put out. I thought Kyrzidis, have I pronounced that correctly? That Greek winger, I thought he showed up really well in some of the cup games. He's the one omission that quite surprises me, I have to say.
Yeah, I agree.
Aberdeen, I have no idea how Aberdeen will play. We haven't seen them. They weren't in the Premier Sports Cup. They've hardly played any friendlies. You've seen. We don't know about the signings at all. Interesting.
We're starting a new competition actually tonight on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're looking for Song of the Season because there is an early front runner.
This won't be beaten.
Set the standard.
This won't be beaten.
I want fans of all teams to get creative. Send me your entries and see if this can be beaten. This is the Hearts tune for new signing Claudio Braga, who starts tonight. Love it.
You have the pace, you have the power, you're yet to have your finest hour, Claudio.
We've actually cut off the first verse,
all
I think.
All we need is Claudio Braga, Claudio Braga.
Seriously.
Claudio Braga, all we need is Claudio Braga.
I can't see it being beaten, Roger.
Which is very, very good.
So, don't want to interrupt it.
Still loves you.
Wonderful. So, someone called Mark uploaded it to Twitter, didn't they? Is he the original singer? I think he may be. I'm trying to figure out who the actual vocalist is, but whoever it is brilliant.
Oh, it's a terrific song. Absolutely terrific.
Your daughter might become a Hearts fan.
She loves Queen, that's right. The only 4-year-old in the world, I think, that loves Queen for some reason. And I actually don't particularly. Don't know where she's got
Queen,
it from.
Brilliant.
But yeah, nothing against them, obviously. The other one that's good is Hibs Away. Have you heard that?
No.
That's a good one. Hibs Away. I like it.
Right, okay.
You see where we're going with that? I won't sing it. No, it's good though. But think of that catchy.
It's not the most creative.
I know, but sometimes simplicity is key. I
think so.
But I think that Claudio Braga one is brilliant. It really is. So there you go. That's your pace setter. Let's see if you can top that as the season progresses. Martin's on the line. How are you, Martin?
How are you doing, Gordon?
How are you feeling then? Cup winners going into this season, Aberdeen. Can you get off to a good start?
The anticipation is frightening.
How do you top that?
How are you doing, Roger and Andy?
Good, man.
How are you doing?
I heard Roger saying that we're in the dark side with Aberdeen, so we've not played like we had a big advantage last season with this Premier Sports Cup. We've never had that this season. We've only had a couple of pre-season friendlies with Fulham, and I think Peterhead and another team as well. So all these new players are the first time showing for the support. So. I think that Adil Awici, he's an exciting attacking midfielder. I think he came for PSG, Roger. And the other guy is Kusini Yenge. He's the new striker that's joined for a free for Portsmouth. Obviously, Big Papa Gay, take care, Big Papa. We sold him for £850,000+. I think he was outstanding for us. But I think the anticipation for the team this season, especially on the back of, I think, no giving any hope against the, in the Scottish Cup, which I think I said to Roger, Andy and yourself, that you have to have belief. And we ended up winning the Scottish Cup. Remember that, Gordon? I just think that we will have a good season this season if the players gel. But Mr Cormack says that we're going to be signing another striker and there'll be another two or three in to help with the Europa League, European campaign as well. So it's a plus. It's a good... things are good at the club, and the support are there. And we'll travel all over the country.
I think you probably need two or three in that squad, just in terms of numbers, Martin, just to get it back up to what it was before. 10 weeks past on Saturday since that day at Hampden. It's a long time without a competitive game. I just wonder whether Hearts might edge it tonight. They've had four Premier Sports Cup games. They've looked sharp in them. They beat Sunderland in that Craig Gordon testimonial game. It's almost a kind of unfair advantage they've got in these, you know, having had so many preparation games.
Thank you very much to Martin. We're looking forward to kick-off, which is coming next, along with more of your calls.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in. There is still time. We're building up to kick off between Hearts and Aberdeen as well. Looking back on as many of the weekend's talking points as we can. So please get your thoughts over to us and we'll do as many as we can. The Crazy Pony has sent the teaser in tonight. The address you need for that one is fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name 9 players who've played in Europe for 3 out of the 5 teams that are in Europe this season? So Dundee United, Hibs, Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen. 9 players must have played for 3 of them, but in Europe. So Scott Brown did it, Stephen Presley did it, Barry Robson did it. Any others during the break?
We said Jamie McGrath.
Yes, Dundee United, Aberdeen and Hibs.
Got to go with my mate, fellow Clyde One pundit, Scott Allen.
Yes, Dundee United, Hibs and Celtic.
Billy Dodge
never played for Dundee United in Europe. He was an unused sub, according to the Crazy Pony.
Wow.
Charles McGrew.
Yes, Aberdeen, Celtic, Dundee United. Let's leave it there. You've only got 3 to get. I'm confident you'll get them before the end of the show. Thanks again to the Crazy Pony. Don't forget, everyone who calls in tonight goes in the hat for a pair of tickets to Air Races. We're doing that all week, so get your thoughts in. And a nice wee prize at the end of it as well, a day out for everybody. So get involved on the phones. You can of course tweet your thoughts there as well at Clyde SSB, but it's much more fun to do it on the phones. What did you make about Tony Bloom's comments? Roger spoke at a Foundation of Hearts event last night. He's actually at the game tonight. He's spoken to Sky Sports before the game as well, just basically underlining the fact that he feels they can split the old firm.
Well,
or maybe even more.
You can understand Tony Bloom's confidence, because Tony Bloom has come into football with his Jameson Analytics data driven recruitment scheme. It has worked brilliantly for Brighton. They are in the top half of the English Premier League more often than not now. They have supplied half the team to Chelsea that won the Club World Cup for astronomical sums of money. He's ploughed money into Union Saint-Gilloise in Belgium. They have won the league ahead of the Club Bruges and the Anderlechts of this world. So he has known nothing but success with his involvement in football. Therefore, he will expect success. Now he's put £10 million into Hearts. What success looks like? Well, he says he wants a tilt at the league in the next 10 years.
I'll be disappointed if we don't win at least one title in the next 10 years.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And wants to be regulars at the top end of European football as well.
Well, believe it or not, if he said that when he took control of USG, yeah, when they hadn't won a title in 90 years.
Well, they weren't in the top flight even.
It's probably more outlandish than saying it as part of the Hearts consortium. So it's bold, it's outlandish. I remember Robbie Nielsen saying the same thing when he was a Hearts manager, that didn't go down extremely well. I think it will be received slightly different given Tony Bloom's recent success at a couple of other clubs. So listen, what it makes for is a much more competitive Scottish league. And I think everyone that I've seen, I think you're the same, Roger, everyone's predicting a very strong Hearts side this year that will be pushing for third spot, obviously. And they'll be looking to get off to a good start tonight. I think it's going to be a really good game tonight.
That'll be the B side to the Claudio Braga song. Tony Bloom singing "I Want to Break Three."
I'd rather have Tony Orlando, thank you. Don't think you're shaking that off. But you're seeing people, you know, saying it's impossible, it'll never happen, the gap's too big, which you would totally understand that mindset as well.
And now it is.
I'm not necessarily a fan of people just randomly saying that they can, you know, they can win the league. That's too out there. But everything this guy's done in his career is calculated. Yeah. He's like way more qualified to make that prediction than pretty much anyone else. So, do we need to shoot it down? So
no,
quickly?
We don't. We can shoot it down this season, and he admits that himself. But if he can get the same concerted success season on season that he's enjoyed at Brighton and at USG, then, you know, we're discussing tonight Claudio Braga. They've signed Claudio Braga. Could he sell Claudio Braga in 18 months' time for £3 million and get somebody else and sell him for £5 million and they invest it back in and the squad gets bigger and the team gets better and the results get better and they do close the gap on the Old Firm? They're not going to do it in one season, Gordon, but I think if he's giving them a 10-year plan, then you never know. Football changes quickly, and certainly within 10 years it will change.
Anything else you want to get off your chest from the weekend? We're almost out of time. Great to have Falkirk back 15 years out the top flight. The goal was celebrated as if all the pain of being in League One, listen, the championship
you made
was
a good point in the show on Saturday, Gordon. The season feels a little bit different, and different can be good. Falkirk are new in the league, Livy are back in the league. We've got new managers at Rangers, at Hearts, at Motherwell, at Dundee and Kilmarnock. We've got loads of new players and an enormous turnover in playing staff. And it just feels a little bit different. It feels a bit new. There's an excitement to it. There was loads of goals at the weekend. There was a little bit of controversy. And between Brendan Rodgers' outburst on Friday and Russell Martin's outburst on Saturday, it's going to be a good season.
And I think above all that as well is that they've been a extremely well-followed club. Even in League One, they turned up in their numbers. You've seen the numbers that they travelled up and down the country with last year in the Championship, so great addition.
Right, a couple more in the teaser. 9 players who've played in Europe for 3 of the 5 teams that are in Europe this season. So Scott Allen, Scott Brown, Jamie McGrath, Charlie McGrew, Stephen Presley, Barry Robson.
An employee of mine at Plenty Pro Academy, Gary Mackay-Stephen.
Does he call you Gaffer?
He does, he should.
Wow. Gary Mackay-Stephen, yes. Dundee United, Celtic, Aberdeen.
Darren Jackson.
Yes, Dundee United, Hibs, Celtic.
Glenn Middleton.
No, because he never played for Hibs in Europe. This is actually harder because we're going to back a bit for this one.
Brian Welsh.
No, it's your era though, Roger, I would say a bit more.
Oh, I'm aware. Dundee United.
Dundee United, Aberdeen, Rangers.
Oh,
I'll need to put you out your misery.
Stephen Wright.
No.
He's a clue.
His
initials.
DD.
David Dodds.
There
we go. Dodds.
Brilliant. Okay.
No, I've got the voice crack.
I will get it tomorrow. Thank
David
you very
Dodds,
much.
But no Billy Dodds.
Exactly. There thank you go. Very much, Shandy Halliday and Roger Hanna. And thank you for listening. A very busy start to the season. Roll on the next 10 months. We're back tomorrow.